everybody knows, whether anybody knows
Shul in Marseille,
where the Baloitur lives. Baloitur lives in the days of Rabbi Natan. And he had a yeshiva in Marseille. He wrote a sefer that's called Itur Sofrim. Everybody calls it the sefer of Baloitur. And for an unknown reason, the sefer is hardly ever used. I got it as a gift. The students bought me a gift 35 years ago, maybe 40 years ago. And I never opened it up, never looked at it. A quote from the Chidor, who was a Svardish Gadol who lived in the 1700s. He wrote a sefer, he wrote around 85 svarim. And one of the svarim that he wrote is called Shem HaGdolim. He has a list of all of the Rabbanim, all of the generations, Shonim, Achronim, and then he has a list, Shemus HaSvarim. The names of all of the svarim alphabetically arranged. He wrote quite a few encyclopedias. So this is an encyclopedia of bibliography, different svarim and different gdolim. So he writes that the two Rishonim, the Baal Ether, the Sefer Ether, and the Rabbeinu Yeruchem, who come from the Alma Diskasya, from the hidden world, and therefore hardly anybody ever looks in their svarim. And different attempts were made in different generations to try to publish their svarim. Like in public fashion, they were never successful. Some Kabbalistic concept.
Oh, I don't know.
It's very strange. I gave a shiur at Beit Shemesh. I was in Eretz Yisrael for 3 weeks before we came on this tour. I gave a shiur in Beit Shemesh on Thursday night, a week and a half ago. And I started with a Baloiter that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah in Hilchos Erev Shabbos.
I'm not sure if
I'm going to
get the spelling.
Quote the opinion of the Sefer Baloiter that Amira Lenochri is permitted on Shabbos in any case of a Makamitz. And the Ramah says we don't follow that lenient position. We don't pass like that.
The
Torah only allows Amir Liakum for the purpose of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. If you want to purchase a house or a farm from a Nochri in Eretz Yisrael, so that's a big Yishuv, that's a big mitzvah. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, we permit Amir Liakum, but we wouldn't permit it in any other Makamitz. But this is the famous sheet of the Baloiter. Baloiter is also famous, everybody knows, under the Chuppah. The Masada Kiddushin recites the Bracha, Bracha Ata Hashem V'Kadosh Am Yisrael,
Ayde
Chuppah V'Kiddushin.
Oh, like an
S. That HaKadosh Baruch gave us the mitzvah of Chuppah V'Kiddushin, and he married us with Chuppah V'Kiddushin, Kadosh Am Yisrael. So all of the Rishonim are bothered with the problem. Isn't the order Sedrei? You should say Ayde Kiddushin V'Chuppah. First you give the ring, that's the Kiddushin. Then you stand under the canopy, that's the Chuppah. First you make Erisin, then you make Nisun, so it's out of order. So, different suggestions are given. So the Rad, in his commentary on the side of the Rif, quotes from the Sefer HaItur that the Kaddish HaMisoi Dechupa Vikidushin is not a Vav before the word Vikidushin, it's a base. Since the previous word, the word Chupa, ends with a Hey, so whenever the end of the previous word is Hey, Evi, Hey, Vav, Yud, an Aleph, then the next word begins without a Doggish. So it's Kaddish HaMisoi Dechupa Vikidushin. Grabbing first the Kiddushin and afterwards the Chuppah. That's famous from the Baloiter. There's other famous lines as well. Now in our generation, another line from the Baloiter became popular. The question is, L'chadchila, the more correct practice, the Gemara says, is to read the Megillah with a minyan. If you have a Shas HaDchak, you have no choice. So we pass in La'alocha, one can, it's Machlokes, the Gemara, we pass in one can fulfill. So a mikra megillah, you can be yachid without a minyan. But chatchila, the mitzvah of Mishnah Musa is to accomplish bisumi nisa, to have a minyan. So the question is, what if 10 women gather together? They want to have a women's mikra megillah. So a woman is going to read the megillah for women. A man is going to read the megillah for women. Is that proper? Because if you want to have the chatchila ba'asara, maybe that means 10 men. Maybe 10 women don't count. So the Taisvis that were composed of Germany and France, the regular Balayat Taisis say that you have to have 10 men. The 10 women are not considered for Hesia. And the Sefer HaItur, all of a sudden they discovered this Sefer HaItur in our generation. Sefer HaItur says that 5 men and 5 women is not proper, just like by benching. If you have 2 men and 1 woman, or 2 women and 1 man, that doesn't constitute a mezuzah, but if you have three women, that would be okay. So the Sefer Itta says, if you have 10 women, that's okay. But if you have 5 men and 5 women, that's not acceptable. But that the Sefer Itta was discovered in our generation. That line was discovered in our generation. It really says it there. But what was always assumed for so many centuries was that 10 women is not considered for Hesed. Women, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants a soul to lead a life of tzniyus, to be private, to be very private. To lead an anonymous life, not to stand out, not to wear flashy clothing, to draw attention, to act normally, to speak normally, to dress normally. Everything should be normal, not to stand out. And even though men often have to do things with Hesed, I'm speaking, I'm a rabbi, I always speak in public, I'm always violating this principle of tzniyus. But the Rabbi Shalom, the ones that the women should try more than the men to lead a life of tzniyus. So even if you have 100 women, the Gemara says, it's never called the Frahesia, because women are supposed to be more tzanua than the men. Also famous from the Baluita, the Gemara says, when you clap on shyness, the way we read the Gemara says, when you clap on shyness on Hashanah Rabbah, a bracha is not recited. Simple reading of the Gemara, because it's a minhag, because it wasn't even a takana de rabbanan. Others interpret differently. What special kind of a minhag? Some minhag you do say a bracha, some minhag you don't say a bracha. The Baluita says you do say a bracha when you clap oishaynus. The Gemara says that there was one amoira who clapped oishaynus not in shul. He was at home. He didn't have a minyan. So there is no such minhag to clap oishaynus shalom beisakana. So that's why he didn't say a bracha. But he claims when you clap by shyness and shul, then you do say a bracha. Obviously, nobody follows the Sefer of Yitzhak's opinion. In the Shulchan Aruch, we have a lot of dinim that are quoted from the Baal Yitzhak. We have a famous idea that on Leil Pesach, it's Leil Shimurim, Kodesh Baruch Hu guards over Bnei Yisrael. And the whole reason why we recite Morgan Ovis on Friday night, after the Tefillah Balachash, the Gemara says it's for Shmira. Because the shul used to be on the outskirts of the city, they were not inside the city. And if someone would come late to the davening, he would have to finish davening after everybody else had already left. He would have to go home by himself. So somebody may mug him. He may bump into the mazikim there. The rotschim, the gazlonim, and so on. So we stall a little bit. We dilly-dally a little bit. So they instituted we should recite Morgan Ovis. So that if anybody comes late, he should be protected. So we have a minig. Not everybody agrees. This is following the Sefer Itta. Since Leil Pesach is Leil Shimurim, so we don't have to recite Morgan Ovis. Even if somebody comes late, he doesn't have to be afraid that he'll be harmed by coming home by himself, because Pesach night is a Leil Shimurim. Yeah, we have that practice. What happens, let's say in shul, you have a yeshiva bacha, he was sitting and learning tzuddas the whole year, he didn't look until his Pesach. And they ask him to daven for an amid on Pesach night and in the shul. And he doesn't know that when Pesach falls on a Shabbos, on Friday night, you don't say Morgan Ovis. So once he started already, then the pasuk will say, tell him to finish. Don't leave him off in the middle. If you're going to say if a bracha, for sure it'll be a bracha levat tov. Because others disagree with the Sefer Itta. They say you should say Morgan Ovis even on Pesach night. But our practice is like the Baal Yitzhak, you don't say. The Baal Yitzhak claims it's prohibited, Mashmiya Kol, to play a musical instrument on Shabbos and Yom Tov is not allowed. So to blow shofar should also not be allowed. But on Rosh Hashanah we do blow shofar. That's the mitzvah, we have no choice. So let's say the Baal Tekeh was ready, I'd say, and he's going to the hospital to blow shofar for a woman. He's going home to blow shofar for a woman. Is that permissible? Because women, strictly speaking, are not obligated to hear Tekeh shofar. Is that an Iser to be Mashmiya Kol on behalf of women? It's our practice, if we do it all the time, everybody does like that. Baal Tekeh was Yotzei ready himself. He was Yotzei in shul. And he blows privately for women. So the Sefer Itta with a group of other Rishonim after him, he was the first one who recorded this. He thinks that it's not proper, that it's not permissible. Shulchan Aruch, they also quote that Yom Tov is Thursday, Friday, and you have Shabbos, you have to make an Erev Tavshilin. So even with the Erev Tavshilin, you're only permitted to cook on Friday for Shabbos. You're not permitted to cook on Thursday for Shabbos, because Thursday is the Yom Tov Deraisa, and Friday, Menat Torah, is nothing. It's non-existent. So it's not really a Yotzeh Basamach L'Shabbos on the level of the Reis. So the first one who wrote that was the Sefer Ita. In fact, Sefer Ita was published in Europe. Dr. Belkin used to say that the Rav in his village, where he came from, Soslovich, I don't know exactly how to pronounce the name of the city, was Rav Meir Yoina. I don't know what his last name was. His name was Rav Meir Yoina. And he published the Sefer Ita with footnotes on the bottom of the page. So he writes in his introduction, he finds it very surprising. So many of the later Rishonim, the Rashba and the Ramban and many others, quote chunks from the Sefer Ita Chidushim. They never attribute it to the Bali. He doesn't understand why. He says it's clear that they will take it from the Sefer Ita. Sefer Ita often quotes the Rambam, and he always disagrees. And he refers to him as the Bavli. Very strange. What kind of a lashon is that? Why is the Rambam a Bavli? So this Rav Meir Yoina, the one who published with the, it's not really a critical edition. He just put the Svar Mekaymus on the bottom of the page. He thinks that the Sefer Ita used this Melitza similar to the Mishnah in Yuma. Mishnah says something about how Bavliim, what the Bavliim did, and the Mishnah is talking about Jews who lived in Yerushalayim. So why are they called Bavliim? So the Gemara says not because they originally came from Bavel, because the Chachamim were opposed to the practice that they're recording here, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at the Jews who remained behind in Bavel when they had permission to come back to build the Bayis Sheni. So Ruba the Ruba of the Frumi didn't remain behind in Bavel. So the group of Jews who were disliked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaShemayim are called Bavliim. So this, the Baluita usually disagrees with the Rambam. So that's why he refers to him as the Bavli. It's very interesting that the Baluita is unlike the regular Bali HaTesis. Usually the Bali HaTesis point out contradictions in Gemaras. That one Gemara says one way, another Gemara says another way, and they have a whole pilpul and they give a teretz what the rule is and what the exception to the rule is. The Baluita never goes into these pilpulim. He quotes much more heavily from Yerushalmi than Taisus. Taisus rarely quotes Yerushalmi. Sefer Ita quotes practically every Yerushalmi that has something to say that's relevant l'halacha. And he quotes heavily from the Tshuvas HaGaonim. The Taisus does not quote that much from the Tshuvas HaGaonim. But the Sefer Ita quotes heavily both from Yerushalmi and from the Tshuvas HaGaonim. In the introduction that this Rav Meir Yoina wrote to his edition of the Sefer HaYitr, he points out very interesting. There's one section in the Sefer HaYitr that's entitled Aseres HaDibros. Has nothing to do with the Ten Commandments. Aseres HaDibros, he picked out 10 particular mitzvahs. Tzitzis, Tfilin, Shofar, Lulav, Birchas HaMazon. He picked out 10 important mitzvahs and he writes all the dinim. And he calls this the Aseres HaDibros. So because it had a different name, so Rabbi Yosef Karo, in his Sefer, Rabbi Yosef made a mistake. He didn't realize that these were by the same author. He quotes it as if, surprisingly, the Aseres HaDibros has a Chiddush, and the Sefer Ether agrees also. It's the same person who wrote both. The Aseres HaDibros is one section of the Sefer Ether. Yesterday we were speaking a little bit about the Chachmei Provence, that they often had different gerses in the Gemara, different interpretations, different traditions how to paskin. So that one of the famous positions of Rabbi Mizrahi HaLevi, we spoke yesterday about his opinion about the international dateline, and about the length of the Bayis Sheni, that we should follow the secular history books and not the Gemara. So he has a famous comment in his Sefer, Perek Bamim Adlikin. He writes that he thinks the din should be that Tcheles Me'akeves Es Halovon, that if you don't have Tcheles, you gain nothing by putting in tzitzis in a four-corner garment. And therefore the Ramban writes that we heard that the Bal HaMa'or, Rabbi Mizrahi HaLevi, never wore tzitzis, because there's nothing to gain. If you don't have tchelis, you don't accomplish anything at all. This is not the generally accepted opinion. Ruba, the overwhelming majority of the poskim hold, even if you have tzitzis without Cheles, you still have partial fulfillment of the mitzvah. And there is what to gain. But this is a chiddush. I remember when we were learning this in the yeshiva, that the Ramban writes that we heard that the Balamar never wore tzitzis. Rav Soloveitchik was very surprised. They said, you mean to say they buried him without a talis? Somehow he wasn't so upset why he never wore tzitzis during his lifetime, but he was more surprised about the fact that they probably buried him without any tzitzis. Balamor also has a famous comment. Everybody knows the Gemara that you have to blow tkiyas the miyushav and tkiyas the miyumot. So we usually assume Ma'umad means the tkiyas in the middle of the Chazar Sanshat. That's called the Amidah. What we call the Shemana Esrei, the Mark of the Svardim, called the Amidah. So tkiyas the miyumot are the tkiyas in the middle of Musaf, and tkiyas the miyushav are the tkiyas not during the Amidah, before you begin Musaf. So the Balamor has an original interpretation. He thinks, what are you talking about? The tkiyas before Musaf, that didn't exist in the days of the Gemara. That was introduced in the days of the Gaonim, when they added on so many piyutim that davening took forever. So a lot of people wouldn't be able to wait till the end of Musaf. You have to fast, you can't eat until 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. So that's when they introduced tkiyas before Musaf. In the days of the Gemara, the davening was over, 1, 2, 3. So they didn't have those tkiyas before Musaf. So he claims tkiyas the miyushav is a reference to the tkiyas in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. Why is it called miyushav? Because there's the Koram in the synagogue. Everybody's sitting in their seat and paying attention to the Chazaras HaShatz. And tkiyas the miyumad is at the end of the davening, after the Chazaras HaShatz is over. And everybody's walking around and putting away the talis. And on the way out of the shul, it's a balagan. That's called tkiyas the miyumad. This is quite an original interpretation. You must have noticed in the shul that we had the Kriyas HaTorah in, the beautiful shul, that stained glass windows. Rav Soloveitchik published, and he used to say this Balper also, he thought that this is a biblical prohibition to introduce stained glass windows in a shul. The Ramban on this week's Sedra on Parashas Re'eh interprets the Pasuk in Chumash. Torah says, when we will come to Eretz Yisrael, which was full of Avdei Avodah Zarah for so many generations, when we will come to Eretz Yisrael, we should not ask, Yisham Alachot, be careful, that we shouldn't ask, Eich Yavda Goyim Ahem Salaheyhem Ve'esek En Gamoni. So the simple pshat seems to be, we shouldn't be interested in finding out how they worshipped Avodah Zarah. We shouldn't, Esek En Gamoni, I want to worship Avodah Zarah also. So the Torah says, L'sasa Kein L'Hashem Alakechem, you are permitted to worship Avodah Zarah. That perhaps is the Poshim Shah. So the Ramban thinks that's not the Poshim Shah. He thinks that even though the Gemara says that, that's an additional level of interpretation. The Pshuto Shal Mikra means, lest we will look around, we'll look around to see how did the Ofti Avodah Zarah introduce beautiful practices into their ritual, and we will adopt these practices into our religion, V'esekein Gamoni L'Shamayim. I will worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will observe my religion, and I will introduce beautiful menhagim from the Nachrim. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, he showed the Rambam also says like this Ramban, this Beferish Rambam like that, understands this Pasuk, the Sasan Kein L'Hashem L'Kechem, is referring to Chukas Hakon, not to introduce menhagim Avodah Zarah into the Jewish religion. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik thought the source of the stained glass windows came from the church, a lot of things, and the special garments that the Rabbanim would wear also came from the church. That's why most Rabbanim, many of the East European Rabbanim, were so opposed to Rabbanim wearing these big dekuhuna that the Galochim wear, and perhaps having that special platform for the rabbi to speak also, maybe also came from the church. So that's the shayla. Any minig that comes from the Avdei Avodah Zarah, we're not permitted to introduce into our religion. author.
Title page, Sefer HaEter.
The author was Rabbi Yitzchak ben Abba Mari, who lived in the city of Marseille. The same thing in the back of the Gemara, you have the Rif printed, and the back of the Rif, you have comments of the Sefer HaEter on the Rif. They have a few comments in the back of every Masechta. So again, they write, the name of the author is Rabbi Yitzchak ben Abba Mari. So he always thought that his father's name was Abba Mari. So I was surprised to read in the introduction that this Rabbi Meir Yoina wrote to the standard Sefer Ether that everybody uses. He writes his father's name was not Abba Mari, because every couple of pages he quotes his father, and he says, Abba Mari said. So what do you mean he calls his father by his first name? So he says, no, his father had a name. He thinks that his father's name is Abraham, whatever, he's guessing. But he says, Abba Mari means his father. Abba Mari is my Abi Mari, his father. So, but that's the way it says on every edition of the Sefer Ether. It says, Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Abba Mari. And he says, it's a misprint. He printed it like that also on the first page of his edition. He says, that wasn't the father's name. He always refers to his father as Abba Mari.